meeting.
You bet.
All right, so can you put it over here, please, council member?
No, I can record these. It's a public meeting. It says so according to the
I know, put it, I'm
state.
not taking it from you. I'm just asking you to put it on the table so you get decent recording of all of us.
Well, I mean, I'm going to get a fine recording here. Is that all right?
No, put it on the table.
Please.
Please put it on the table.
Seriously?
Just
Why?
Put it on the table so
You
we
can't.
Get decent.
We're trying to make sure you get an uninterrupted, decent recording of us. I don't appreciate the
Why
fact that I've been recording without any knowledge.
According to the state attorney general, the opinion is under OPMA that any public meeting is open to being recorded.
And I'm asking you to get a decent recording by putting it on the table. We won't touch it. I don't want it to be interrupted. If you're going to record
That's
it,
up to me. Whether I want it to be interrupted or
Are
not.
Are you recording this right now?
Yeah,
okay.
It's because the meeting has started.
All right,
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I've shown you.
To make it a good recording. So
I appreciate your assistance. Thank you so much.
Okay, so in regard to that, I did want to offer a little bit of history. Questions about that, why this started. I have pushed every year for a review of council rules correctly since I've been elected, and it just was able to happen, you know, through a series of circumstances. So the council, we put it in the council said we could do it, and so different people had collected notes, I had collected notes. In compiling background information, I consulted MRSC, which is a municipal research service center that is available as a tool for all cities across the state for legal issues, all sorts of resources. 15 cities, several council members, several mayors, Sound Cities Association, and Anne McFarland. So all these people I've talked to personally taken lots of notes. So there's a lot of background and vetting that's gone into the process that we chose. So in regard to an edit versus a rewrite, there was a statement about us not being a normal city. Normal cities don't do it this way. I do want to quote Deanna Dawson, CEO of Sound Cities, who is now the CEO of Association of Washington Cities over the entire state. We got into a conversation about this, and I said, wow, you know, there's just so much we're thinking about even doing a rewrite. She said, Tracy, that's how it always happens. People get in, they start wanting to make updates, and they just end up with a rewrite. So she was the CEO for Sound Cities for 10 years. If that was her casual comment, oh, this happens all the time. This is normal. So right now, many cities are considering entire rewrites, especially on the backside of COVID, with hybrid meetings, the advent, the way social media has grown, and the way our communication with our communities has changed over the last handful of years. I'm in a deputy mayor meeting on a regular basis. Lots of cities are doing just this. So. The template that we chose, we looked over about 15 cities, and we wanted to choose something that was from a similar city as ours, a council manager city, about the same size, and that had seemed to operate a little bit pretty much the way we do. As far as form, we felt like our current council rules were a little bit archaic in language and style and format. So you'll see even we picked open font and a little updated language and a chapter format to make it just updated into the 21st century. So we wanted this to be not only a resource for our council, these seven people, but as a resource for the community, make it a little more easy to read, easy to find, easy to understand. So this was intended to be a gift to our community. I wanted to clarify also about this being a final draft. It is a final draft to this committee. It was not intended to be a final draft to the community or to our council, because we still have a couple of steps left as a committee, the work of this committee. So if there was some miscommunication or misunderstanding about that, that was clear to us on the committee. not, the sky's not falling, we're not changing the government of our city. Our government of our city is really under law in the state of Washington. There's a lot of, this is not changing the government of our city. It's a document primarily for the usage of 7 people, primarily. It does influence other people and how we act, but it's a protocol manual that is a guideline for how we interact with each other, communicate with each other, do business together in a formal setting, and it has to operate under the laws of the state of Washington. So there can't be anything in this document that violates or goes against any laws in the state of Washington. And we are checking, double checking, triple checking, vetting, and making sure that that is the case by the time it comes out in the end. The schedule ahead of us. So right now we're still on our this is the final draft for this committee process. And after this meeting, we will be taking any edits or rights that we have for this meeting to Ann Farling, who is recognized statewide as a primo parliamentarian consultant for the cities all over the state. She's recognized by everybody from the state government, county government, city governments on down. If you are vetted with her, she is the parliamentarian in the state. So she will be looking at this document. I've actually already talked with her and made even a few edits as a result of my phone conversation with her. So after her review, we will bring the document back to this committee for one more review to create a draft for our city council. At that point, and we will hopefully put in some extra helpful documents that might help people compare and contrast. But that is gonna be the time where the community will see what the document looks like and compare with our current document, and our council members will be able to review it, and we'll have at least one, if not two, study sessions where there'll be, I'm sure, robust communication about the items in the document. So it will be up for a vote and recommendations from all the entire council of it. So I hope that offers a little bit of clarity and our schedule before we begin the review. I'm not going to take any comments or questions from anybody attending other than those sitting at the table for the committee here. So I would like to open the table up for any other comments before we begin review.
First of all, I want to thank Michael and the staff for your review on this as well, ensuring the legality of what we recommended. I think that our previous council rules lacked definition of what our rules were. I think we did a better job of outlining that. Most rules across the state, and in cities, the biggest reason why a lot of them are reviewing them and taking the time to do so is because social media is relatively new. And it's important that it get addressed because there's gray areas there that needed to be defined. And it was great to see some of the other cities, what they've done and challenged, what had stuck, what had not stuck, and so forth. And we didn't have a process for those that do violate the policy. And I think it's fair that everybody understand what that process is, and in fairness, where basically we had to kind of wing it, unfortunately, we didn't have the ability to let things stick, or we had to let them slide a little bit because there wasn't policy for it. This establishes that. It puts everybody on notice what those are. It's fair. It's defined, it's distinct, and I'm very happy with the hard work that my colleagues and you guys have done. Oh, one more thing. So the plan as mayor is that the first week of May would be the study session for this. That's my suggested time if we can get there. Now, if Anna Farland needs more time or something like that, that's not possible. But we would do the study session on the first week of May, which would fit into our schedule. And then if it requires a second reading, so the idea, it wouldn't need to be a study session, it would be a regular business meeting on the second week of May. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so rule changes require 2 readings at regular meetings.
So we make the May 2nd or the
so both meetings and then give you regular meetings.
Okay.
If that timeline works. I think there's some, you know, some logistical things we'll have to confirm with our consultant for scheduling her timeline.
Okay.
And then the deputy mayor just mentioned bringing it back to this committee in between her review and council review, so that may
okay.
Edit a little bit.
I mean, we'll,
but
that's the estimated target. We can pull it together to make that happen.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah, so I'll just, I saw that on here about 9-11 before we start reviewing the document. So part of what legal did, what staff did, you know, we went through the draft that was provided by this committee and looked at, there's some formatting stuff, there was some stuff that was repetitive. We wanted to confirm that everything in this document complied with state law, because that is going to trump our council rules. We also have a lot of municipal codes that address kind of quasi-council rules, so we have a conflict of interest code. And there was language in this that didn't align with that. And so we removed that, and there's going to be a list of items, follow-up items that we're going to have for this committee and maybe the whole council of items in our code that need to be amended. And we can reference them in here, but we don't want to have them in both places. So we'll have our conflict of interest code. One item that has consistently had some questions is our committees, not council committees, but our arts commission and all that. So we'll want to put that on the list of things to address after these rules to basically clean them up to reflect what are our practices. So this will be kind of step one, and then, you know, step two will be cleaning up the items in the code and updating them consistent with our practices.
Thank you, Tim. Before we go,
my just kind of opening statements is, you know, it's been an interesting process because it's really a good thing to try to update rules. And it's certainly one of the things that I wanted to do when I got elected to the council, one of the things I campaigned on. So, you know, we've had several meetings on this. Councilmember Harris and Councilmember Oxenberg have been, I think, at every meeting. I've had a couple of conversations after the meetings with Councilmember Oxinger and maybe clarify some points, maybe not, but nonetheless, you know, the lines of communication are always open. And then I have not had any communication with Councilmember Harris until he started putting things on social media. And, you know, frankly, I just don't understand that. There's got to be a way to try to address things if you have some concern. Section 7.05, which is criticism of employees, really should be fairly straightforward. If you as a council member have an issue with an employee, you take it to their supervisor, which is our city manager. You don't take it out in public, you don't air it out, and there's no reason to do that any other way. I have asked the city attorney to address some of the First Amendment issues with that, and I'm assuming we'll get to that as we're working through the code. Additionally, there are statement or Rule 5.03 sub G, which essentially the statements after a vote to be taken on the council. That is a very limited circumstance. And again, you don't understand what the council has done. If you lost the vote, be a good winner, or a good loser. Or a good winner. You don't understand people when you do that. And again, I've asked the city attorney to address some of the First Amendment issues. My understanding is that Councilmember Harris feels personally picked on by the dress code, in particular the rule that we can't wear a hat. First, I've ever heard that there was any medical reason for him to wear a hat. I'm happy to build in an exception based upon a doctor's recommendation or a doctor's note that justifies that, if that's an issue. But I read what he had on his website, and there is no clear medical reason connecting whatever happened to him and his medical condition to the need to wear a hat. So, you know, but that would be a way to accommodate that, is simply to build in an exception to that. But it is disrespectful in general to wear a hat in a public meeting. Military never does it. You can't wear it in court. The judge will ask you to remove it, unless, of course, you've got a religious or a medical reason to do so. And that would be the exceptions that if we can certainly build that. The other thing is that, you know, been put out on social media that we're all just going along, and that simply isn't the case. There have been several disagreements between myself, things that the mayor wanted and Tracy didn't like, or all around. But, you know, we are able to work together to come up with a better product out of the end. And that's the democratic process. That's what it's supposed to be doing as representatives, and that's what we've done. I didn't get everything that I wanted in here, particularly in terms of conflicts of interest. But nonetheless, I think the final product is going to be vastly superior to what we have. And I think those are some of the misconceptions that have been put out there that need to be put up. So I think this has been a good process. I think this has been a very thoughtful process, trying to do something that addresses issues that simply haven't been come to the forefront until recently, particularly in terms of social media and working on policy for that. So I'm glad we're going to continue doing that. I'm certainly open to anybody's suggestion for changes on this. You know, I think this is a pretty good product so far.
Well, I do want to say, Councilmember Stemmitz, that if some other council members end up agreeing with me on the things that we disagree with, I'll get my way. So, true. Anyway, thank you. Mm-hmm. So that, just to clarify that, just because we compromised, it can still change.
Yeah, but it's a recommendation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Connie, anything? No, Tim, anything else? And then Michael?
Yeah, three cheers.
With the formatting.
Oh, I just saw a lot of other spacing issues. So I'll just continue to do that as we go through.
Okay,
whatever changes we need today.
Yeah, just two comments. You know, one thing, our interest in this, we have, you know, council members or former government. And the RCWs are relatively explicit as to the roles and responsibilities. I think our view of this process and document was just to make sure that we're all on the same page relative to, you know, responsibilities and the process and all of that. But I just want to say, you know, I appreciate the comments, Councilman Stoneman, you were well spoken as always, but one underlying aspect of this, which I think we've seen, unfortunately, has been the underlying foundation of these being effective are some modicum levels of trust and civility. And without those as the glue relative to the commitment to work as part of a team, to move the city forward, then these are, unfortunately, words. And without the goodwill behind accomplishing positive things, these are not going to enforce goodwill and they will not enforce trust. This is the basis upon ways to take appropriate action when you have those as the underlying tenets. So we can only hope going forward that that's an aspect that gets fulfilled by every member of the council.
All right, well, thank you for the comments. So I think we'll begin with the review. What I just like to do is go page by page. We'll take it in order. If anybody has comments, we'll just go chapter one, chapter two, and review any comments or questions that anybody has in regard to the chapters that we have out here. So,
the Bachman's and Forward, are we good with that?
to ensure, do you want to leave the word ensure in there? To ensure that the policy should. I was just asking, what was your recommendation?
I'm fine with that change.
Yeah, responsibility to ensure that the policy is, the policy of the council is appropriately executed. Okay? Yeah, either way, it changes, so that's fine. Okay, great.
Just clarifying your roles.
Exactly, that's what we're trying to do. Yeah, okay. Okay, otherwise, good.
So just to know, Bonnie is tracking these and will be providing.
Yes, so I'm just making a decision.
An update to the final.
Yes, update to the final. Yes, thank you. All right, so it's still in chapter two, anything there, any inserts? Okay? All right, chapter three, support provided to city council. Okay? Chapter four, financial matters. I did have a question here, I do know under, no, but I have something on 401, so maybe you have anything else about for that. Okay, so it does say that municipal code provides for payment of stipends to members of city council. There is another, if currently council salaries are set as provided, RCWU, another option is a salary commission. We did state that, but it is in the RCW, so even though it's not in there, if we ever wanted to establish that, that would just be an update of this manual at that time. Or is it, would we want to insert a statement about that right now? Just wait until.
So, yeah, I mean, we could add or
or just
be
in accordance.
Cite the statute.
Are set as provided in chapter and it doesn't mention that.
It could be and or RCW 35-2115.
Okay.
Because and or would be that's
a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have on that.
On the business top on that, the chapter tables?
Yes.
Could we bold, underline, separate them out from the text a little bit more?
Yep. Why don't I capitalize them and separate them out a little bit? Because they're capitalized actually in the table of contents, so.
Yep. That'd be great. It just caught my eye. So.
No worries. Yeah. Okay. Chapter five, communication. I think there was something there. Before, anything before that? Because Harry had requested some commentary from him.
No, that's sure.
Okay, so I'll read it out loud. It says, Chapter 503G, council members shall not take action in writing, speaking, or otherwise outside the public meetings that undermine the decisions of the law. Public expression of dissent and protest outside the open public meetings is inappropriate and unethical behavior.
So these are the council rules, so this is, you know, like this is adopted, this is the council's position on this. I think the question was, does it violate the First Amendment? Mm-hmm. The answer to that is no. Censure, which is essentially what the punishment is for violating these rules, is a form of speech. It's the council speaking and saying, what you've done is this is inappropriate. So for somebody to say that the council can't speak, that would actually be a violation of the First Amendment, to say that the council can't criticize somebody for speaking outside of the meeting. There was a recent Supreme Court case, 2022. The court cited 9-0 that legislative bodies have the ability to censure members for speech made outside of meetings, speech that they don't approve of, because censure is a form of speech, so the court is not going to prohibit a legislative body from speaking under the First Amendment. So no, this does not violate the First Amendment.
And in addition, as I understand this, it's in the context of undermining a decision of the body. So the body has already made a decision. So this is an after the fact criticism of the council for the decision that it has made that undermines the authority of that decision. And it is not just simply dissent, it is not just simply a broad view of don't disagree with us in public.
Yeah.
It's after the vote has been made.
Yeah, and that's what this rule says, but you know, legislative bodies censure members all the time for statements that are made that don't even relate to the decision. You know, if a council member were making anti-Semitic remarks outside of the meeting, the council could certainly censure that. And that's what they're doing here. If you had a language in here that said, if somebody does this, the council can decide that they need to spend 30 days in jail, you know, that would make we might have a First Amendment problem. But say that the council can't speak about another council member's speech is not violated. But that's not a real thing. So the way that this is written is fine.
Okay.
All right. Anything else in chapter 5?
Sure.
Okay. So then moving on to chapter 6.
Councilor Simons and I were in a recent conversation, and as far as conflict of interest, and it's in chapter, and I think it's in chapter 6 we want to put it, but we discussed the language that somebody, or at least a pastor duty on council couldn't be a consultant or be employed by the city.
And I preferably I put it up. But
how about we compromise on one? I think it's
okay.
Fair. I mean, there's been cases where, but I also would have claims that unless the council of the whole approves something along those lines, would you think about something like that?
Sure, that'd be fun.
So just to know, this was kind of mentioning in my intro. Our conflicts of interest in the city code of ethics are in the one municipal code.
Okay.
And so, and there is language about restrictions after leaving the city. It doesn't have that time frame that we.
So you're saying we deal with it after the ordinances when we deal with the other ones?
Yeah. Okay. Because if we put it in here, we're still going to have to amend the code.
Okay.
So if what we're doing here is referencing the code is 2.44. And so, you know, we have this one that we need to address. We have our committees that we need to address, and there might be more to go through here, but I think that
we'll tackle it on the ordinance. That works for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, as it current stands, it's there's no time frame, or what do you
say? I think they can't work in the city.
I'm not sure on the specifics. I know that even in the city law, there's a something about the mayor can't become the city manager for a certain period of time.
I'm not sure
that we have any sort of language about a former employee working as a consultant or a former council member working as a consultant.
Okay, well, we can look into that later. By your recommendation, it's not needed to be put here. We can deal with the ordinance piece. They need to address.
I think if the council wants to address it, yes, they would address it in the municipal code. So we can put that as
not
necessarily
here.
It's 2.44.
Yeah.
When you're working on those recommendations, bring them to the council. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I mean, that's, you know, I think it's the same analysis as previous issue, that what this is saying is that if a council member criticizes staff publicly, then the council can censure the council member. So essentially that the council is free to speak on their opinion of a council member criticizing staff. So it would not bother the First Amendment. And I think, you know, probably there's probably other things that Michael would want to say about morale and kind of the appropriateness of.
Okay, my question is, does that sentence, public criticism of staff, does staff include the city manager?
Yeah, actually, I had that question as well.
Would you interpret that way, or?
Because the alternative line, or sort of the line would be that there is a supervisor for staff, is how I think about it, and that is the city manager. But technically, the council as a whole is the supervisor for the city manager, and it just seems to me that if there is criticism of the city manager, that's really not within the purview of the non-interference, which is the title of this section, and therefore it shouldn't be interpreted as including public criticisms of the city manager. Sorry, Michael. But
no,
you know, I think that...
I'd rather it comes to me. Well, the spirit of it is supposed to be that council members come to you with their concerns on staff or in conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
No.
Is there any wording that we need to clarify that?
Well, certainly staff, I mean, we talked a lot, like, so on 706, that first sentence, the city manager's information liaison between council and city staff. So I imagine a lot of times throughout here, we refer to staff to refer to everybody but the city manager, but maybe we could add something. If council members want to criticize Michael in public, they can do it. Or the city manager, not.
Yeah.
This is not just about.
No, I understand.
Current city
manager. But then if we do that, and I'm fine with that, I think sometimes you have to put the spirit of it out too. And the spirit of it is that in some argument we say that the hope is that they would, that particularly council members would go directly to the city manager.
Or to each other. I mean,
or to each other. Well, but the thing is to each other, either way, but I'm just,
yeah.
The whole idea is to get the spirit of the language that occurs first.
Yeah, I think that's in the first paragraph of this.
Okay. I'm reading it.
Yeah.
So,
first paragraph of
seeing it.
That's the whole point of this paragraph.
I still say there's just a little bit of language that the spirit of it is to you know, what we're trying to do is have people talk to each other rather than do it through backward channels and shadows and other things, just have a conversation.
Well, you want to say that council member criticism of the staff should be directed to the city.
It is preferred, that it is preferred.
Or shall be.
Shall be. Shall be is a good word.
So good, that was Carrie's request there. And anything else for chapter 7? Then chapter 8, I did have a question from our current rule 18. I was reading the intro to rule 18. I think it's like rule 18 or 19. It says,
it's just what we're
on. So right now, we're on chapter 8, but oh.
Which rule? Which of chapter 8 are you referring to? Because you're referring to the other rules.
No.
Right. 18, you said?
From the current rule 18.
Oh, 818.
No, I'm sorry, I'm looking over.
Working off of this graph.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so you're talking 26 of 35 presiding officer requires?
No, so I'm on chapter 8. And I am wondering if we should open this with a statement of life. Rules of order not specified by statute, ordinance, or resolution by the most recent edition of Robert's Rules of Order. I don't think we have that statement anywhere in this protocol manual.
I know.
If we don't, we should.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if we should insert it here. It is currently in our council rules. It's stated in Rule 18.
Okay,
and
chapter 11 of this code is probably.
Or, and that's the other thing is, would you want to put it here or in chapter 11? That was my other question. So it says, so I'll just reiterate. Rules of order not specified by statute, ordinance, or resolution shall be governed by the most recent edition of Robert's Rules of Order.
I'm okay with it being an 8 because most people, if you read an order, you might as well establish that you're using Robert's rules. You could go in either 11, I don't disagree with either. It's just why not put it here where it comes used to its first base of relevance.
Because 11 is what a probate just uses it says parliamentary procedure. I think right there, I think rule chapter 11 is called that.
Yep.
It might be just right. It fits in both places, so
yeah.
Sure. Rule of order. Not specified by statute, ordinance, or resolution, shall be governed by the most recent edition of Robert's Rules of Order. And that's in your opinion. Yeah, it could be the opening statement for chapter 11 or right here at the
I'm okay either way. Like I said, my argument was that it's relevant in both. It's usually later people look up specific rules, but in the general flow of things, it's established. So I suggest 8 over 11. I'm not going to die on the hill.
Yeah, strong
family
theory.
I don't.
Okay, Tim. So we can eliminate this. we can.
Let's just take it out.
Take it out, okay.
I mean, I think it's a respect thing to know that it's occurring, but.
I agree. It's a totally a respect thing to let somebody know.
Well, then maybe that's where, that's what we're doing here. Recording the emails, something like that.
Maybe we just need to assume that it's gonna happen. I mean, we're in a different state of living in our society right now. And I just think we just need to assume that if we're in a public meeting, we can be recorded.
It's fine. Let's leave it out. The sentence before covers what we need to be sure of covering, so.
Yeah, okay.
You guys, I don't even think it's disrespectful. I think it's just you expect it to happen. This is part of the process.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so that was. All right, so that's what I have, I think, for chapter 8.
And I just wanna, when we were going through the order of, when we were going through the order of business, and we had all of these letters referring to stuff, I just wanna compliment you, did an excellent job of putting that in the order. I was like, dang, she didn't miss a note from what we've done in the order, and yeah, just my compliments.
Outside of wine.
Yeah.
So let's see, 8, this is long here, I'm talking about under not public hearings, that goes up after public hearings, J, K, under new business, K. So 806, I think. Oh, and I think I had a note here. I think we're missing, I'll give you that minute. Okay, 806K, number 2. Draft preparation. So we did a cut and paste here, and it says ordinances and resolutions shall be prepared, introduced, and proceed in the manner described on the flow chart attached here to this exhibit A. And I don't think we have that.
No.
See, we did what we did there is we did a cut and paste from our current council rules. So
you should find that.
I don't think did they have a flow chart?
They did.
They did.
Okay.
Way back when we were looking.
Yeah, that's right.
And yes. It's actually kind of confusing.
Yes.
So just shall be prepared, introduced, and proceed. But you know, how do we do it? Let's just put in how.
Typically, 10 months.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess we could take a look at this flowchart and maybe we just try to, or maybe we just summarize.
Yeah.
The way that it's done.
Yeah.
I would just
whatever. I'm gonna go with you guys because you're the ones who you take what we ask for from the dais and then you do it. And however you do it, whatever is good to you, I just bring that forward. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Good. And then one more thing on. I don't have anything more on 806. No, and then people are missing 807.
Yeah, I was going to say 807.
So that I think that 808 needs to be 807. Yeah, 809. Yeah. So slowly that is. But I did take a quick perusal of the table of contents. If that's correct, I think the table of contents does not have 810. The table of contents is correct. Just these.
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh no, you don't know that was
okay.
So good. Okay. Now we've been working on this thing for like forever. Kindred spirit, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I've been drowning in all of this.
Okay.
So and I even see stuff now.
Okay.
Yeah. Old stuff. I'm so able to get better.
Alright. So that finishes chapter 8, unless somebody has something else in chapter 8. No?
Okay.
Chapter 9, protocol administration.
This was, basically the
every 2 years.
To review this.
Yeah, Mayor appoints a ad hoc committee to review it, just to keep it up to date. The biggest call I have is it's been several years. I mean, there have been slight changes, but there have been nothing like this process that had happened in any time. And,
our society has just changed so much.
Well, exactly.
We have business everywhere in the council, so most councils are.
But this is where, you know, we keep it relevant and up to date in a much more timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that, as a council, that's something we want to make sure we do.
Okay. So, chapter 9, that finishes that. Any comments on chapter 9? Okay. Chapter 10, leading office of general vacancies. There's a, some nice detail there that kind of takes the, some of the, let's do it this way or let's do it that way every time. So, I think it takes a burden of the seat start to have to come up with the process.
And it leaves the room, you know, obviously, in the last couple of processes we've had, they were vastly different, particularly when COVID came into play and stuff like that. So it doesn't, it allows us to be flexible and agree as a council about it through the selection process.
Mm-hmm. Then I want to use the address the civil laptops to launch up to.
Okay.
Yeah, that is, it is, it's, I just saw it. It is 10, you have a 10 on it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else in chapter 10?
Nope.
Okay, so 11, well, I mean, we did see that we added something to the opening of that. Then I also was wondering, should we incorporate a similar opening that says, from our current rules, it says all items of business placed in the council that require the expenditure of council and our administration resources shall be in the form of an affirmative motion. I just think that's a nice opening. But I don't think we have that.
Can you say that one
more time? Yeah, that's, it's from our current rule 18. And our opening sentence of current rule 19, excuse me, current rule 19. It says all items of business placed before the council that require the expenditure of council and or administration resources shall be in the form of an affirmative motion.
Yeah.
It kind of just opens with, this is what we do.
That's fine. Yeah.
So that's the first part of the old rule.
Of old rule 19, yeah. First part of old rule 19.
Do you want to add that after the pro-mentor?
After the pro-mentor.
Now, here again, yeah. Or here again, it could be at the beginning of 8 or whatever, but I just,
I think we decided on 11. Let's just make it right after.
I agree with all that. Old rule 19.
Okay. Yeah.
And
it's the openings. It just establishes that everything we do has to be introduced in form of an affirmative motion.
Yeah.
And then that opens, that's what we do.
No, that's good.
Okay.
1101F, the dress code.
Okay.
I, you know, in the upon consideration, think we should build in a religious or medical exception. So I agree. I think we need a religious or medical exemption to all the rules.
I agree.
So, yeah.
So would we make it a G?
Maybe we put it.
Or more in the opening, more in the beginning of the document, I think. That,
yeah,
because
I mean,
it's the same
maybe it would, I mean, it would apply to, like, you know, taking the floor, right, or something like that. But, you know, if there is a religious or medical exemption that any council member needs for any purpose, you know, they can't sit at their seat, maybe they can't even
come to the
meeting, you know, then we could put something similar to what we have for our city employees, that they need to contact HR,
well,
and we have a process,
yeah.
It's not just,
yeah.
Hey,
in this case, yeah, just a question, or a question now, is it, would it be the same kind of process through HR, or would it be through the presiding officer, or what would be the, are you going to figure that out? Tell us.
Our preference would be through HR.
Because it is
confidentially.
The confidentiality, okay.
They have, I mean, they're aware of all the laws on the common annual, it doesn't apply to a council member. We apply our accommodation rules. And so there's certain processes that you go through. So certainly if you can't meet something in here because of a disability, you know, the city will accommodate you so that you can do your job. But we just need to know that it's a real thing. It's not, you know, just an excuse that you don't want to do this.
Yes.
So, so maybe we put that up front.
Yeah. Well, what about under adherence to protocol? Because we have an entire chapter to protocol administration. So could be either a, like memo to A says, each council member shall be given an obligation to review this manual and understand to be bound by its provisions. Then we could put B. Any provision in this manual would be subject to or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is in the back of the manual, but it is on the chapter about adherence.
But it is a responsibility of the city council. To go through that matter.
You'd have to, you'd want to, what, run it through HR is what you're saying, for confidentiality reasons. And so, is that something you'd want to put under adherence to protocol?
Okay.
Or at the beginning of the manual?
So, really quick for clarification, we just talked about the fact that all communications go through the city manager. We have an issue that could be a confidentiality. Is this an exception where it has, this would go to the HR? Where we put in, I think as long as it's in here is fine, but that would that clarification need to be made, just so we ensure.
So I'm going to be made aware of whatever it is, where the city manager would be made aware of that.
So
probably, I would probably not change that. Because okay. We'll end up at HR, and that it's a process.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know what the limit was. And yeah. We had just said that it had to go through you, and we want to make sure we're, if this one is different, then I want to define the process, that's all.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's the same, so.
Yeah, I just think we want to be, once again, that's all approaching with some goodwill. Mm-hmm. I want to be sure that the religious whatever exemption or medical is subject to process, not to content.
Right. Okay. And that's the idea.
Yeah, and that's
so
unique.
So where are we at?
Well,
we do need to. These are the council rules. And it's the council who ultimately decides whether somebody's in compliance or not. If a council member is seeking an exception to the rule, the council needs to know why. That they're seeking the exception and their underlying rationale.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's a decision of the council because we police ourselves as to whether or not the exception is granted, I think.
But I think the only problem with that makes perfect sense except for the fact that HIPAA.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So HIPAA supersedes it. They're entitled to privacy and medical conditions. So if they can't accommodate their responsibilities, that's something myself and HR would try to figure out. But I understand because you want transparency, but on the other hand, you've been a step with overriding federal law that protects these laws.
So would this be something that we do, add a chapter, just say special exceptions?
I think we could just put it in somewhere. I don't know if it's in section 1, 2, or even 9. And what I would recommend is we just go straight to our personnel manual and pull the language there about accommodations.
Yeah, fine with that.
And just put it in. And I think,
as far as the process is concerned, I think that's great.
Yeah.
My real question is, if the council is the enforcement mechanism for these rules and there is an exception being made that the council hasn't agreed to, that is an exceptionally worthy event.
Thanks.
You know, how does that, it doesn't make a lot of sense that.
Well, but here's the thing, if you write it here and everybody agrees, right, part of it is you sign this, you've already agreed to the process. So if the process happens, and it's confidential, you already agreed that if HR agrees, then you're good with it. You don't have to know the situation, because by virtue of the fact that you're adhering to this manual, and in the manual it says it's going to be confidential to both your HR, you already agreed that that's okay. So you don't have to know. If HR says it's okay, two people know, then we're good. Because you've already said that you agree with that process. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you're
yeah,
good with
yeah,
that.
I get where you're going.
Okay.
As long as that process has been
it's a delegation and a delegation to a process that already exists.
So I think you've got
it's not
what you're looking for us. And I would say, wherever you recommend, we start with that. If it needs to be moved in later on in the process, especially in the meetings or whatever, we do that. You know, our last meeting before it comes forward.
And there is a process that we can apply with when it comes to a confirmation request. And it's certainly an area a lot of you always want to comply with.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
it's pretty well settled.
Mm-hmm.
And our HR department is really good at, one, they know the law, and two, they make sure to get the proper documentation. And so it's information from doctors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a statement. So,
mm-hmm.
So we can pull that from the personnel manual and add it to the next version.
It's
from
2904.
I think
we should just make it. Yeah.
904,
you said?
Yeah,
904.
It's
in
there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start there.
Yeah, even if
it's
in the language, you decide to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, good recommendation.
In my opinion, since I agree with you.
and you
right.
So, you know. Harry, did the
item
cap under the dress code situation, do you feel like that was covered?
Yeah, that's what
this
last discussion was all about.
The whole thing was
okay.
Checking
mm-hmm.
that's all done then. Okay, and then there's a voice chapter. Anything else in chapter 11? Probably new procedure. Chapter 12 is just supplemental documents and links to all of those. Anything else that after looking at I think we referred, RMC is down there, so.
Yeah, that's, now it's,
good.
So the touch-ups mm-hmm. and then to our consulting.
So I feel comfortable just allowing you guys to insert those without us looking at them again. And then the next step is, as soon as that's done, just to me, to actually probably could call Ann right now and see how available she is for review. That would be the next step, right? Is the review by Ann.
Well, yeah, with sufficient time for them to get the changes.
We
yeah, as soon as
yeah.
that.
And the formatting, but the formatting is just going to be a work in progress.
So
no,
that will always.
The content's the important part, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The changes
yeah.
made from the content, get it over to Ann. And I'll continue working on the formatting just because I'm very picky.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
she's so gracious.
Perfect.
It's been a year long process.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's
going to be a lot of hard work.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I got it. These two should take this.
Like I said, I made the recommendation that we could target the first 2 weeks of May. That'd be great. If there's reason the staff or and so forth, then we can look at that and talk about futures and where it's in place. What I'm trying to do is put a couple meetings together to be effective and get it done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you want to have one additional meeting before it goes to council.
One more meeting. After Ann gets a chance to see it, she may just say fine. I think that she's probably going to say something that will make some decisions on. And then what I'd like to do is create, I know there's been a big ask for this, and like what I did earlier on, is take a current copy of our current council rules and just put a little notation after rule one, rule two, rule three, where you can find this rule in the proposed document. I'm gonna do that for the council members. So it should be in the packet.
Yeah, let's talk about that at the next meeting, that's based.
Okay.
I've got a conflict, I'll see you guys.
Hey, Mark, thanks for coming.
Sure, thanks for coming.
We just need to make sure we have the final meeting.